Councilwoman Collins Lewis, what do you think about where we stand right now, 1 year removed from the shooting of Alton Sterling?
Good morning, Jim, and good morning, listeners. As you know, there were a series of events that took place yesterday on the anniversary day. There was a small group that gathered in front of the headquarters, at the police headquarters, to protest. And for some reason, not really sure or clear on everything that happened. I've seen a couple of videos, but something got out of hand on that event. I think that tensions and emotions are still high. People are still hurting. His family is still hurting, and they want answers. They want resolution.
When you say things got out of control, what exactly happened based on what you know?
Well, based on what I saw on the videos, and, you know, I've been getting a lot of comments from people that, a couple of comments from people that were there. My understanding and conversations with that, the family wanted to file some type of a complaint and were told that they were not going to be allowed to do that. I'm not, again, not sure exactly how that went, but looking at a video, they were asked to step back from the barricade, and a few seconds later, there was pushing and shoving, and then things seemed to have gotten out of hand. People were tased, rubber bullets were fired, and it was not a pretty sight, not a pretty scene. Emotions, again, were already high. You know, family still dealing with this death. It's still fresh to them, and it's still very painful.
Well, yesterday, Representative James expressed hope that the community would not react in a negative way if the judgment, whatever happens from the Attorney General, comes down. Is it a concern for you that we may have some volatility?
Well, you know, it's a concern. It's always a concern. Yesterday, I believe, started out very peacefully. Again, I'm not sure what happened. There was not a large crowd, but there was a crowd there protesting, which they have the right to do in front of headquarters. And so my prayer, and I'm in agreement with Representative James, we're praying and hoping that the city remains calm, no matter what the verdict is. But we do want justice for this family. And I don't believe that that's happening. It's been a year. I understand that there is a long process. Not really sure when anything may come down, but we're hoping that it's going to be soon.
Well, the reports are that seven people were arrested. So it obviously was a bad scene. What happens next?
It was a bad scene. Again, it was a very small crowd. I can't see why there was not some type of way that the crowd could have not been contained. I don't know enough facts about what happened yesterday, but again, it was very unfortunate that people again were arrested. It's just very heartbreaking to see that happen again on the anniversary of this event. It's just very painful to watch.
877-217-5757 for Councilwoman Donna Collins Lewis. Now, the Attorney General has this case before him, Jeff Landry. Representative James yesterday expressed some dismay at the lack of speed in getting this process going after the Justice Department decided not to press charges against either officer, Plain Salamone, who shot the fatal shots that killed Alton Sterling, and Howie Lake, who did not use his weapon, but he was obviously there and was one of the two officers interrogating Mr. Sterling when things went awry. So what happens with the Attorney General, and do you think that, or do you have confidence that his office can do this job adequately?
I don't know what's adequate in this situation. I mean, the family is looking for an answer. And so we're not sure how this is going to turn out. We don't know what the Landry's decision is going to be. But for me, I think that it's time for a decision to be made. I think that there was evidence that was handed over to Landry's office. To me, it should have been a top priority to do whatever it took to come up with some type of a decision. I'm not trying to rush a decision, but I think that there has been ample time and on both sides for this thing to have come to some kind of a conclusion and for this family to be given some kind of answer. We know when the information came down on CNN before it was even revealed to the family that was very tragic in terms of the decision that had been made and then the statements that had been made by Officer Salamone. That was very, very damaging to the family. And so I'm hoping that before anything or whatever happens with the Attorney General's office, that they do notify this family of what that decision is before anybody in the public knows. I think that was very unfair and unjust to the family to find out about it the way that they did. And that only further added to the pain that they were already experiencing as a result of Mr. Sterling's death.
Phil in Jefferson Terrace. Good morning, Phil. You're on Talk Louisiana with Councilwoman Donna Collins-Lewis.
Good morning, Jim. Good morning, Donna. Yeah, I was just going to ask you a question that you answered, what we as a community could be doing along the lines of going forward and waiting patiently for answers. And anyway, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Will the council take this matter up?
I don't know that it's a council matter in terms of being able to take it up. We can't make a decision. You do know that for the last two council meetings, we've run out of time on the council, and there has been an item on the agenda and will still appear on the agenda for our next full council meeting, which is July 26th, for the chief to give a report on the status of the case in terms of the situation with the verdict and where the officers are and what's going on. And so that has not had an opportunity to come up on the agenda. Hopefully on the 26th it will. It'll give citizens a chance or the opportunity to ask questions that they did not have the opportunity to ask before. It's going to open up a lot of issues, I'm sure, and I'm sure that the chief will probably only be able to respond to certain things just by the mere fact that this case is still under investigation. But I think that citizens have the right to know and hear something and to be able to come and express their views or ask questions in terms of where this case is. And so hopefully on July 26th, they will have that opportunity.
Now, come August 9th, the council will once again review the measure to ban smoking at bars and casinos in Baton Rouge. Yes. What do you think about this one?
Well, again, that's going to be another healthy debate. We debated on it for almost 2 hours at the last council meeting. We started this whole thing out with seven sponsors. I'm not really sure at this point if everybody's going to stick. I'm going to stick with it. I think that casinos had the opportunity to come and express their views, and people that work there and people from the public. Me personally, and I'm sure most families have dealt with families that have died from smoking or being impacted by smoke. I had a young lady that I knew whose husband smoked. She did not smoke, and she ended up with cancer as a result of that, living with him every day in the house with him and smoking. So I do know and believe that secondhand smoke does have an impact on people's health. And I'm not one that want, I have family members that smoke, but they know if they come to my house, they cannot smoke in my house. They got to go outside. I don't even have an ashtray in my house. Mm-hmm. So you're not going to smoke in my house.
So you're a strong yes on this, it sounds like.
I'm a strong yes on it, yes.
Well, last year it was 6-6. Presumably there are enough votes based on two new council members to have a majority of the council vote yes and have it become the law of the city. But could something happen between now and August 9th to change that?
Yes, something could happen. I mean, for the discussion, in my view, at the last council meeting was to look at giving casinos until next year when the legislature meets again to allow them to be able to have outdoor gaming facilities or outdoor gaming where they currently are. And so if we're going to wait another year to give the legislature the opportunity to do that, and then casinos, I asked the question from the floor, how long are you going to need after that to adjust your operation? And they were saying maybe another year. So we're talking about 2 years, and I think that's very unfair. I think that casinos knew that this was going to come back up again. Someone sent a picture of, I think it was somewhere in LaBerge or another casino that does have outdoor gaming where the smoking is allowed. And there were two people, I think, sitting out there among what looks like maybe 100 machines. I just honestly believe, just as they banned it in restaurants and other buildings, public buildings, that if they banned it in casinos and people want to go to gaming, they still are going to do that. They're not going to stop. That's just me personally, and that's just what I think.
All right. It sounds like, Councilwoman Collins-Lewis, you don't think this is a done deal.
I'm not really sure at this point. I'm hoping that it is. I'm hoping that the seven of us that originally started out and supported this ordinance will stick with it.
Rob in Mid-City. Good morning, Rob. You're on Talk Louisiana with Donna Collins-Lewis.
Yes, I know that one of the issues last year was having policemen live in the city of Baton Rouge, and I always wondered why the city or the state doesn't utilize the Good Neighbor program that sells houses in troubled areas to policemen, firemen, and teachers. And I'll hang up and listen to the answer.
Donna Collins-Lewis, your response, please.
Yeah, that's the measure that he talked about was something that I think has come before the council twice since I've been there, with having police officers live inside the city limits. I'm not opposed to it. I don't think that that's a complete resolution in terms of where we deal with police officers and where they come from. You know, I've always said and will continue to say, I want a good police officer. I don't care where he lives specifically. I just want police officers that are engaged with the community and that are part of our community, that are part of the fabric. A lot of the officers or some of the officers grew up within certain communities, so even though they may not still live there, they have ties and connections to the community. And so, you know, it's my hope that we can get police officers that feel involved, that feel engaged, and that they want to be a part of making a change within our community. The program that he's speaking of, I went to a workshop several years ago and had conversations with the administration, and I've recently talked to the mayor, Mayor Broom, about some of this also, about police officers that live in communities. There was a project, there was adjudicated property. The city took some of the adjudicated property, took a home, revitalized the home, and allowed an officer to live in the house. He signed a contract to live there for 3 years within community, and the program worked well for him. People in the community knew him. The children in the community knew him. He went to cookouts in the community. He went to events in the community, but he still policed the community, and people had a relationship. And I think that if more police officers had relationships with people in communities, that would also bring about a change. But I think it goes both ways. Right now, we know that there's a big lack of trust within our communities among our police department. And I know that the Mayor Broom has implemented some changes in terms of how we engage with police officers. She's had workshops around the community with community people that live in community and police officers, so that you would get to know people or police officers that patrolled and lived in your area. Mm-hmm. So there are some things underway. Hopefully there are going to be a lot more things with community and engaging police officers. We do know that there still needs to be some changes within our police department with looking at officers and what is their makeup. And there's just a lot of tension right now in our city between the police and community, and that needs to change.
What is your impression about the dispute that's ongoing between the mayor and the police chief?
That's a difficult situation. You know, everybody is saying fire the police chief, fire the police officers, but there is also procedure for anything like that to take place. You know, people are saying fire them, and if they sue, then that's fine. I'm not one to just say, okay, you do something and you know that it's wrong and allow the city to be sued, spend a bunch of money on a lawsuit. And I know that that's something that she's worked on, and I believe that she has the best interest of this city at heart, and so I'm going to follow her lead on that.
877-217-5757 is your number. Jim in University Acres, you're on with Donna Collins-Lewis.
I would just like to make the comment that the last two elected officials you've had, Jim, have already tried the officers and found them guilty and made Alton Sterling innocent in this case. And it should be that it's up to the Attorney General to make that decision in a time frame that is proper and does the right thing for all concerned. It shouldn't be forgotten that Mr. Sterling should not have had a gun and that he resisted arrest. And I'm just saying there's no right answer to this, but it should be supported of the Attorney General's office to let them make the decision and put prom. The movie Mississippi Burning, you could take Mississippi out and put Baton Rouge Burning right now, because our council members and representatives in the North Baton Rouge area are fanning the flame.
Thank you, Jim. Donna Collins-Lewis, your response, please.
Well, you know, he made a statement about the last two officials that elected officials you had on said that Alton Sterling was not guilty, that police officers were guilty. I'm not running a decision either way. I'm leaving it to the Attorney General, but he does need to make a decision. It seems like he's made a decision by saying that he should have had a gun and he resisted arrest. And he's basing it upon the same thing that the public is basing it upon, what they've seen and what they've heard. He's not had a thorough investigation, and neither has anyone else. And so everybody is making presumptions because a decision has not come down. when the decision does come down, does that mean that everybody's going to agree 100% with it? No, it does not mean that. And we do have to let our laws prevail. We do have to let what we hopefully will be justice for this whole situation. But he's also making a call by saying the things that he's saying. He shouldn't have had a gun. Perhaps he should not have had a gun. He was an ex-offender, so he should not have been carrying a gun. Resisted arrest. We don't know exactly what happened. We were not there. We're only looking at videos of what happened. And so, again, we're making presumptions whether he's guilty or not guilty on both ends. I think all of us are making those decisions and presumptions because nothing has come down. A lot of us did not agree with the Attorney General's office with their decisions that had already been made. And so I'm not sure, you know, the Department of Justice, I'm sorry, many people did not agree with that decision. I don't think many people were surprised by it, but they were not pleased with it. And so now it's in the hands of our Attorney General, and he will make a decision. Will we all, again, like it or be in agreement with it if we feel it's not the right decision? No, we won't. But that still does not stop the fact that we need to come together as a community and mend what is wrong within our community. And a lot of that is based upon race relations, and people can say whatever they want to say, but there is tension out there among police department, and there's tension out there among what's happening in our country around police officers killing young or older Black African-American men. And that's just the facts.
What was your impression of the video of Sterling's death?
And I thought it was very unclear. And what we've seen, you know, the number of times that he was shot, I can't see how I was justified. I really don't. I don't. And that's just me personally. And again, like I said, people are going to have their personal opinions on this whole situation. We saw what we saw. I don't know if there's more information. I'm sure there's dash cam. There's further video, everything that's been turned over. And I'm sure even if we had all the information, individually and collectively, we all would still make different decisions. We all would come up with a different verdict.
All right. A listener asked if the chief will actually come to the council meeting. Is that going to happen?
Well, the chief was at the council meeting on last Wednesday prepared, but again, we did not get to the item on the agenda. The first meeting that the item was on the agenda, the chief had already had plans
All
to
right.
be at a conference that had been scheduled months before. So,
All right.
you know, the chief was at the last meeting.
I'll leave you with this final question from Lewis. He says, what's the Metro Council's role in regards to the Breck consideration to move the zoo?
I don't know. We haven't really had discussion as a council on the issue. I mean, there's been discussion where I think that Shauna, Councilwoman Banks, has asked for a report. I don't even think I was at that meeting, but in terms of a discussion among the council with moving it, I've seen the plans that Ms. McKnight has for the zoo. I definitely want to see something remain in North Baton Rouge in that location.
Well, thank you, Donna Collins-Lewis, Councilwoman from East Baton Rouge, District 6, and we appreciate your time and your comments.
And thank you, Jim. I appreciate you.